Hallelujah.
Jesus, you love me too much. Too much. Excess love. Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost.
Your love does something to me. Amen. Does his love do something? Does the love of God cause a stirring in your heart? If that's you this morning and the Lord of God is causing a stirring in your heart to love him and to praise him, I want somebody to put your praise together for the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Woo. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with us? If you are there, say amen. I'd like to hear the people respond back. Let's try that again. If you are there, say amen. Ah, that's better. Good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. My name is Pastor Yato, and we're coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And this is GMI Church. We're glad that you could be here with us today. And we got a lot of exciting things going on this morning. We thank everybody that is here to celebrate with us. Praise God. We have a great celebration, and we're going to do something, but we're going to do the regular service first. So just relax, enjoy the presence of the Lord. But we have a lot of special families and friends, you know, and I want all our regular GMI folks to put our hands together for all the people that we have here this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We also have a lovely couple in the house with us today. First time ever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you excited, first time ever, to see Paul and Victoria in the house? Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up? Let's and wave to the people. Come on. Don't be shy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, let's get right into the service. Amen. I believe the Lord is going to bless you with a word here this morning before we get into that part of it. Praise God. Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you love Jesus? I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And everything that is in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all my iniquities, and who healeth all my diseases. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. I will make my boast in the Lord. Even my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Hallelujah. Amen. I invite everybody to sit down, relax, be quiet, and listen to the message, if you would, please. Thank you very much. We're going to get started here. Wherever you are, I want you to raise your heads, raise your hands, be seated, but just raise your hands, and we are going to pray. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you this morning. Amen. And we thank you, and we bless your name. And we ask that the kingdom of God will come. As it is arising, so let it rise in our hearts. And let the glory of the Lord fill our hearts this morning. And as always, the entrance of your word brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts today, to give us revelation of the glory of God. Hallelujah. The light and glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My. We bless you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, if you came to the house of the Lord to be blessed, then you will get a blessing. Amen. Praise God. Today, I will be speaking for a little bit before we change the order of the service. I'm going to be speaking on all kinds of voices. All kinds of voices. Praise God. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to start at verse 10. And if they're in the back and they can put the scriptures up quickly, it will help me out. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to read from verse 7 through 10. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words that are easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Now, so I'll be talking about different kinds of voices, but it's not what you think based on this, what this one is saying. I'm just using that, you know, to draw the text from that or to draw the title from that. But I'll be speaking about various kinds of voices and how we deal with them. And there is one special voice that I will leave to the end. You know, so, you know, let me give you a quick synopsis of what we are going to be talking about, just so you can follow along. We're going to be talking about the voice of fear. We'll be talking about the voice of unbelief. We'll be talking about the voice of discouragement. We'll be talking about the voice of doubt. We'll be talking about the voice of despair. We'll be talking about even the voice of reason. The voice of reason and the voice of logic. And then finally, we will talk about, you guessed it, the voice of faith. Hallelujah. So let's get started here. The voice of fear. And I'm just going to bring some scriptures, some examples in the Bible, and then I'm going to bring this message and say something that the Lord actually wants us to say. But let's read it first. Numbers chapter 13. Let's read verses 31 to 33. Now, some of these voices do overlap. You know, the voice of unbelief will overlap with the voice of doubt and fear and all so on and so on at many times. Now, that's Numbers 13 and verse 31. Now, this is the story of Moses sending one out of each of the tribes of Israel to go spy out the land, you know, and so forth. And, you know, except for two of them, Joshua and Caleb, the rest of them brought an evil report. And here's what they said. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than us. You know, so they're already afraid. They haven't even started. Even though the Lord gave them the promise, they're already afraid. And they brought an evil report of the land which they went to search. And they said, the land which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up inhabitants thereof, and the people we saw are men of great stature. Now, this is what fear will do to you. It will contradict you, get you all messed up. You know, if the land is eating them up, how can they be so big? And they should be minuscule, they should be small, if the land is eating them up. But he said the land is eating them up. They said the land is eating them up, but yet they are giants. And there were giants. We saw the sons of Anak there and all of that. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So fear crept in, and it allowed them, in the moment that fear crept in, it opened up all kinds of gateways. Unbelief. We can't do that. We can't go up against them. They are giants. We are grasshoppers, and so on and so forth. A very interesting story That did not end well for those people, folks. It did not end well for them. Not at all. As a matter of fact, if you go on to the next chapter, the Lord told them, I'm not going to read all of that today to speed things up, but the Lord told them that, look, you know, because you did not believe the word of God. So fear and unbelief, they all roll in together. You will know my breach of promise. You know, you say God breaches for me. Well, yeah, because they are unbelief, because they didn't believe God. But we're not going to go into that right now. So let's continue looking at some of these other voices, because I got to move along because of time. You know, there is a voice of unbelief. It's the same thing as the voice of fear. It brings in, they walk hand in hand. Once you start to be afraid, you start to be unbelieving. Once you start to be unbelieving, you start to be afraid. They all walk together. You know, here's a story here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we will read just two verses. 1 Samuel 17, we will read verse 11, and then we will read verse 33. Now, this is a story of Goliath that was mocking the armies of Israel. See? And when Saul and Israel heard all the words of Philistine, the Goliath, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That's again another voice of fear. You know, and they were saying to themselves, you know, wow, we can't go up against that guy. So when David came up on the scene, Saul said to David, you cannot go up against this Philistine to fight against him, for you are but a youth. And he's a man of war from his youth. Now, there are times when you want to do something, and people around you will tell you, you can't do that. You cannot do that. And my answer usually is, says who? Hallelujah. That's my answer. Says who? You know, and that's how you have to respond back to some of these voices. The voice of fear. The voice of unbelief. And you know this story. I'm not going to tell you all of the story. You know it, because we have to go through these other voices quickly. You know, but here's what David said, though. When his eldest brother told him, well, I know the pride of your heart. You've just come here to see the battle. You should have stayed with those sheep. Who did you leave those sheep with then? Why are you out here? I know the pride of your heart. You know, you come out here to see the battle. David said, what battle? Amen. I don't see any battle. I just see a bunch of cowards. That's exactly right. Praise God. All I see is a bunch of cowards. I don't see any battle going on. There was really actually no battle going on. You know, but David said, this man, he came to mock at the armies of the living God. So David is going to take it to another gear in the spiritual. Everybody said he come to, you know, discomfit and to mock the armies of Israel. No, David said, you come to mock the armies of the living God. And when you make it God's fight, man, he will stand up and he will fight for you. Hallelujah. There are many stories like that in the Bible. You know, I don't want to get too far off track, but, you know, Hezekiah, you know, and these people, they knew how to make it God's fight. They said the voice of this Sennacherib that came to frighten us and all that, and say, your God cannot save you. Did all the gods of the nations save them? We threw them in the fire. We trampled them underfoot. We stamped the residue down as well. We crushed all of them. And Hezekiah said, well, you know, I know, Lord, that they did all those things, but those were no gods. Hallelujah. Thou art the very God that seated in the midst of the cherubims. Now, let it be known. He didn't say, you know, he didn't just say, save us so that we will not be disgraced. No. You know, when you make it God's fight, he said, save us that all the earth may know that there is a God. Hallelujah. That fights for Israel. Now, when you make it God's fight, when you tell God, I got this situation. But the people on my job are looking at it, they say, well, didn't you say you are a believer and all that? He said, Lord, rise up that the people may know that I serve a living God. Hallelujah. When you do it like that, instead of saying, well, Lord, you know, I don't want them to put me to shame and all that. Well, that's good too. That's a prayer that's good. But the other one is more powerful. Where you put it, make it God's fight. It's more powerful. Let's move on. There is also the voice of discouragement. Now, all these negative voices, they work together. They all overlap. But I just want to bring it out this way. In the book of this story, same story that we are reading in Numbers, you go to Numbers 14, you read the first four verses of Numbers 14, and you'll see the same kind of thing. You know, they lifted up their voice, and they cried, and the people wept all night long, all the children of Israel, and so on, you know. Well, you know, and they said, well, wouldn't it be better if the Lord had just left us there, you know, to die in the wilderness and all these things? You know, why is he bringing us out here to make us a prey? You know, and they started discouraging, they weakened the hands of their brothers. Every one of them weakened everybody else's. We can't do that. You know, we were better off the way we were. Well, were they really better off when they were in slavery? When they were in servitude under Pharaoh? Were they better off? But that's how quickly God, people forget. That's how quickly. All these great things that God did for them, all of a sudden, now they are murmuring against the Lord. Well, why? Because unbelief, fear, discouragement, they all rolled in together. You know, and say, well, you know, it were better for us to have been, you know, should I or not have returned to Egypt? Why do you want to go back to bondage for? Lord already set you free. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 4, let's read it. And they said, you know, these are the people. Give me verse 4. They said to one another, you know, let's make a captain. Let us return to Egypt. You know, discouragement. God said, go forward. They said, no, we cannot. We have to go backwards. Amen? Amen? Don't listen to those voices. There are voices that are contrary to the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice. And they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And I will raise them up at the last day. And a stranger they will not follow, because they know not the voice of strangers. The strangers, don't follow these voices, folks. And there are many of them. Here's another one, the voice of doubt. Let's look at this story in Matthew chapter 14. We'll just take verses 28 to 31. The voice of doubt. You know, so Jesus, he comes, you know, walking on the water and all that. You know the story. And so Peter says, Lord, if it is you, bid me come on that water. You know, and I spoke on this a few weeks ago here. And so Lord said, come on, Peter. So Peter jumps up on the water. Amen. He jumped up into the water and he walked upon the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, see, he was afraid. So you see, fear, unbelief, doubt, they all work together. He was afraid and he began to sink. And he cried to the Lord and said, save me. And listen to what the Lord said to him. And the Lord stretched forth his hand and said, you know, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? That's right. You know. So here's the voice of doubt. The voice of doubt is he's walking on the water already. He's having a good time walking to the Lord. Oh, my goodness. I'm walking on water, man. You know. I'm just like Jesus. I'm walking on water. Then all of a sudden, he takes his eyes off Jesus. He looks at the waves. The waves were there the whole time. But you could have kept his eyes on Jesus. He would have walked straight to Jesus. How many of you know that's true? Amen. But he took his eyes off Jesus. And when he saw the waves, I cannot walk on water. And the devil whispered to his shoulder, you are going to drown. You can't do it. You know, voice of doubt, voice of unbelief, voice of all these things. They all work together to cause you to stop short of the blessings of God. Amen. Now, let's look at the voice of despair. Despair. Hopelessness. I don't have hope. Even though it looks like you are doing something, but you really already think that you cannot attain. So the best story for that I could think of was the one in John chapter 5. And I love this story. You know, in John chapter 5, the man was there, 38 years of an infirmity, and he kept coming, but in his mind, you know, when Jesus came and told him, Jesus said this to him. You know, you can read it in John chapter 5. Let's read verse 7. When Jesus came and told this guy and asked him a question, you know, and said, "Would thou be made whole?" Because Jesus already knew. He saw him lie down there and knew that he had been in long time in that condition. So Jesus asked him, "Will you be made whole?" And the man looks at Jesus like, "What kind of question is that? You know, I'm already here, you know, trying, but I can't make it." You know, so this is the one. "I cannot make it. Every time I get so close, but somebody else grabs it." Now, there's people in here today, or listening, or watching. I say, well, somebody else always grabs that blessing which I thought was going to be my own. You know, so you are there in despair. "I can't do it. I have no man to help me." You know, people are always thinking that somebody is going to help them. Are you still with me? "I have no man to help me." Nobody is going to help you. The Lord is your help. Amen. Yahweh is your help. Vain is the help of man. You know, and so Jesus, the man, he said, "Look, if this pool gets troubled right now, before I get in there, somebody else is going to step in ahead of me." You know, despair. He already lost hope. And Jesus says to the man, "Forget about the angel. Forget about the water. I'm right here." Amen. That's right. Today, it's not about the pool. And I want to ask some of you today. There are people in here, or those watching or listening, that are still waiting for the stirring of the pool. They're waiting for that angel to come at a certain season. You know, God is not a God of one season or the other season. Hallelujah, somebody. He is an always present God. A very present help in the time of trouble. Psalm 46 and verse 1. You know, God is always there. In fact, if you think that God is a God of seasons, when in Mark chapter 11, when Jesus came to that fig tree, which was not yet time for the figs, it wasn't time. But Jesus came there because this tree had the appearance. You know, Jesus said, "Thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead." Had the appearance of leaves bunched together, looked like fruit, but it didn't really have any fruit. And the master comes upon the scene. When he comes, he wants fruit. Out of season or in season. Praise the Lord. And that thing didn't bring forth fruit. Jesus said, "That's it. You're done. You did not." Whereas the tree thought, "Well, I'm doing great. I'm bringing forth shade to the birds of the air. And I'm doing all this other thing." But the one thing the master wanted didn't have it. So it was done. That's it. You know, so Jesus is not a God of seasons. You know, this season you are blessed, next season you are not blessed. No. Waiting for the stirring of the pool, and that's the only time you can get healed. No. And God is not a one-way traffic. Well, that's the way he healed those people last time. The angel came there, so that's the way he's going to do today. No. Jesus is right here. Hallelujah. Those were just the mercies of God, because those people didn't believe anything. You know, so God just gave them the mercies of God, or the angel of God to come once in a while. You know, but if you believe God, today, now, can be your season. Amen. Faith is always now, folks. Hallelujah. Faith is always now. Jesus said, when you pray, believe, and then you shall have it. Praise God. So faith is always now. So this man was in despair. He said, "Well, I can't do it." But Jesus changed his story. Hallelujah. Whenever Jesus comes upon the scene, there's always a change. A change in your story. A change in your situation. Amen. Now, there's also the voice of reason and the voice of logic. You know, these are dangerous voices. You know, I'm leaving the voice of faith to the last. But these are the negative voices that will keep you from attaining your full potential in the Lord. The voice of reason. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 16. I'm going to look at verses 1 and 2. And before I even do that, you know, well, let me do that, and then I'll come back to it. Genesis chapter 16. This story here, and you can read all of the story, you know, this story here is reason. God already gave the promise, but Sarah is going to come in here and reason it out. Well, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I can't bear any more children. It's too late. You know, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my handmaid to my husband and try to help God figure out God's promise. God doesn't need your help. Amen. Stay in your lane. Hallelujah. Let God do his thing. If you try to help God, we're still in that mess till today. Arabs versus Israel. See, don't do that. Don't do that. I reason it out. You know, my body, you know, I can't do this. I'm too old and all that and stuff. Voice of reason. You know. But what I wanted to tell you was that, you know, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, if you go back to that, the Lord appeared to Abram. That was before he changed his name. And he said to him in a vision, "Fear not, I am your shield, an exceeding great reward." You know, and when the Lord says that to you, I mean, my goodness, he already said, "I'm your reward." God didn't say, "I'm going to give you a great reward." No. "I myself am your reward." Hallelujah. And if God gives you himself, what else do you need? But the next thing out of Abraham's mouth is, "Well, I don't have a child. So what are you going to give me? You know, what are you going to give me? You know, God said, "I will give you of myself." Hallelujah. I want to challenge you today. This is the problem with most people. When you have an encounter with God, what's the next thing out of? If we have a great moving here now, if people start getting slain with the Holy Spirit, the cloud is coming and the great moving of God, the next thing people are going to pray is, "Give me my rent. Give me my next car. Give me my next house. Give me my next this and all that." When you are in the presence of God, my God just gave you, offered you himself. Why would you want anything less? But if you're going to ask for something less than God offering you himself, then you're going to have to put that thing on the altar. Hallelujah. Some of you don't know why God had to make Abraham do that, put that son on the altar. God must be your chief joy. Hallelujah. And it must always be your choice. You must choose God above all else. God did not give us anything to replace himself. And even what God can offer, even anything that God can offer you outside of himself, pales in comparison to himself. Amen. So always look for that offering of God himself. But anyway, let's go back to our subject here. So, the reason of, "I can't do this, my body is too old," and all that. Reason, logic, that will figure out, convince her husband, we can't do that, and so on. Here's another one, 2 Kings, chapter 7, and verse 2. You know, now, in this story, of course, the man of God, he comes there, you know, and says, "Well," you know, "enough already. You know, why should I wait for the Lord? I'm going to go out there, you know, enough already." So he goes out there. He gives an outlandish prophecy. I mean, just completely outlandish. This is why I'm famine for a long time. He gives a prophecy that nobody can even imagine how it can happen because it's so outlandish. You know, I mean, we are in famine right now and everything. And then you're saying that things will be so cheap tomorrow that people will almost even be giving it away. So this man, chief of army staff, you know, he comes up and says, you know, "Even if the Lord would open the windows in heaven," can you imagine? "Even if the Lord will open the, if the Lord opened the windows in heaven, you'll be swept away." Praise God. "Even if the Lord will open the windows in heaven," you know, "can this thing even be?" And the man of God said, well, you know, you should not have said that. Because now, you will see it, but you will not eat of it. Can somebody say amen? Now, this is a dangerous place to be when God promises something. And they say, oh, even if God will move heaven and earth, can even that happen? Well, it will happen. And you might be the one that will miss out on it. Praise the Lord. That is not your portion in Jesus' name. I've always said, and I've always maintained that I will be the one. If there's only one person in this room that's going to believe God, it's going to be me. Praise God. Is it going to be you? That's right. Who touched me? Jesus said. All those people thronging him and everything, you know, all those people. But there was one touch of impact. Hallelujah. And all those people around him, rubbing shoulders with him, pulling him, touching him, doing everything. No, there was no impact. But one lady said, I know. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she fought her way through the crowd. And when she did, my. Virtue went out of him. Now, somebody is going to touch Jesus here today. A lot of people come to church all the time. But it might be just one person that's going to touch him. Well, is that going to be you? Hello? Are you going to be that one that will have that touch that will pull virtue out of the Lord? All the other stuff is noise. Noise all around the Lord. But I'll tell you something. Let me quickly go to the voice of faith and you'll see how that works. You know, let me quickly go to that. So, we're now talking into the voice of faith. You've seen all these negative voices, fear, unbelief, discouragement, doubt, despair, reason, logic, everything. All those negative voices. Now let's go to the real one. Can someone say amen? Amen. The voice of faith and the answer of faith. How do you do it? Well, you know, you shake yourself loose. Hallelujah. You say, well, I got to go back to his promise. And I'm going to change my name from Abram to Abraham. So every time that you guys call my name, you are going to be calling me the Father of Nations. And they say, Father of Nations? You don't even have a child. How in the world are you going to be Father of Nations? We have our children round about us. And we don't even call ourselves father of anything. And look at you. And Abraham said, well, every time you call my name, you are declaring that I'm father of nations. Amen. The voice of faith. This same story that we read in Numbers chapter 14. Let's look at verses 6 to 9. The voice of faith. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh. Which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes when they heard all the negative, all the unbelieving, all the we can't do it, all the giants and all the sons of Anak and everything, you know. And they said to the company of the children of Israel, said, the land which we pass through so search it is an exceeding good land. Amen. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and he will give it to us. It is a land that is flowing. These people, and other people said, It consumes the people of the land and all these things. We are grasshoppers. This people said, no, this land is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Only rebel not and rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear you the people. They're going to dismiss the fear now. You know, and they're going to say, these people, they are lunch. They are our lunch. They are bread for us. We're going to have them for lunch. Amen. We don't care how many numbers. God does not save by numbers. We don't care how they look, how whether giant or not. You know, God is with us. Hallelujah. They have the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord God, our God. Hallelujah. You know, and he said, their defense, it departed from them. Now, this is faith speaking. The voice of faith is speaking out. Against all odds. Against all odds, the voice of faith is speaking out. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. You will not fear them. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. The voice of faith will not be deterred. It will not be dismayed. It's not going to give in to discouragement and all these things. There's a story here in Mark chapter 10. Verse 46. Turn quickly. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. There was this man called blind. Well, his name was Bartholomeus. Bartimaeus. Whatever was his name. But he was blind. You know, so people always refer to him as blind. Well, he was blind. That was then. He's not blind now. Amen. He wasn't blind after Jesus met him. Anytime Jesus meets somebody, something's going to change. So this man was crying out, you know. And verse 47, let's go quickly to verse 47. He cried out. And he heard when Jesus was coming. Then he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the people told him, shut up. Be quiet. Don't bother the master. But he cried them all. Hallelujah. Don't let those negative voices silence your own voice. Let the voice of faith rise up in you. And be louder than the voice of unbelief. Be louder than the voice of fear. Be louder than the voice of negativism. Let the voice of faith rise up in you. I will not be silent. Lord, have mercy upon me. And I tell you something, folks. When you cry to God for mercy, I have never seen in that Bible anything that magnetizes Jesus like the cry for mercy. It will stop Jesus dead on his tracks. I can't use the word dead for Jesus because Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. But it will stop Jesus in his tracks. And when he did, Jesus stood still. All the ruckus, all the stuff that was going on and so forth, that voice of mercy that rose above all those voices of discouragement, Jesus stood still. I commanded it to be called. Hallelujah. So the voice of faith will not be silenced. It will not be silenced. Hallelujah. Now, if you are hearing God in this message, already you have the victory. But the problem is, when the message is being preached, people are not hearing it from God. And when you're not hearing it from God, you're just after the service, you're going to say, oh, that was a wonderful message. And that's the end of it. You will make no impact. But when you are hearing it from God, even the things that I'm not saying, God, the Holy Spirit, is already revealing it to you. And you're already reaching out to those situations in your family. You're already reaching out to those situations in your on your job. You're already reaching out to every, even though I'm not saying it, Holy Ghost is interpreting it to you. Hallelujah. In the book of John chapter 16 and verse 13, he said, and I'm going to go back to this. Don't switch. Just stay right here. John 16 and 13, Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost is come, he will show you things to come. Things to come, people think it's just prophetic things and what God is going to do. Well, that's part of it, but that's not it. For you as an individual, when the Holy Ghost comes into your life, he will be showing you the answers to your prayers. You are praying today. You are visualizing the Holy Spirit, the answer already. Hallelujah. And if you can visualize it just 2 hours, just 3 hours from now, then that's how quickly you can have it. Some people cannot visualize it. But if you come into alignment with the Holy Spirit, well, the Holy Spirit show you things to come. Let him show you as you are praying that prayer. Let him show you the end result of your answer already there. And if you can attach and align yourself to that, you have the victory. Hallelujah. Now, the voice. This man cried. And the Lord eventually, you know what he did. You know, be of good cheer. They told him, the master is calling for you. And when he comes, Jesus said, Go to the next verse, next 50. You know, 51. He cast out his garment. You see, that's another thing too. All the things that are holding you back, those negative things, you have to get rid of them when you are coming to Jesus. Amen. Cast down the unbelief, the negative, the distractions, the everything that bind you down. Come to Jesus, sir. And Jesus said, what would you that I would do to you? I submit to you today, brothers and sisters, men and brethren, that when you come to the Lord, be specific in your prayers. Amen. Don't say, God bless me. What does that mean? What does it mean for God to bless you? He has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So if you want bread, don't go to your father and say, give me something. If you say, give me something, he might give you a stone. Hello, somebody. Because you asked for something, you did not ask for bread. But if you ask for bread, he will not give you a stone. He will give you that which you ask for. Hallelujah. So be specific, folks, when you are praying. Don't just pray these random prayers. God bless me. God do this. You know, he has already done all of that. Be specific. Lord, that I might receive my sight. This man didn't say, Lord, bless me. You know, all these things are in the Bible for our examples. There are hidden stories in all these stories. Hidden lessons. Don't be vague when you are in an encounter with God. Be specific. Hallelujah. Anyway, to move on quickly, there's another story in Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through about 43. Jesus is telling us many stories here of, you know, this is again a similar person that was blind and everything, but he would not be deterred. So that's that. So let's leave that alone. He's talking about a similar story, same kind of thing. But in this story of In this Luke chapter 18, there are many stories here. I don't have time to read it. I will just paraphrase it. Jesus told a story here. He told many parables here and many things here to the intent that men ought always to pray and not to faint and not to give up, you know. And there was a woman that went to a judge and said, avenge me and all that. And the judge said, I don't care. I can't be bothered. But when she kept on, she would not be silenced. The people probably sent her away. Don't bother the judge. But she kept coming, and she kept being persistent. And one day, the man said, look, the only way I'm going to get rid of this woman, hello, is for me to do what she wants. She would not give up. She would not be deterred. The man went to his friend and said, the stores are closed, and I have a friend that came from out of town, and all the stores are closed. Give me some bread so I can set before my friend. The man said, go away. My kids are already in bed. I can't answer you. The man kept knocking. And he kept, you know, if you don't answer that knock, he's going to wake up your kids. So, better get up and give him what he wants. And Jesus said, the man inside is not going to give it to him just because he's his friend, but because of his determined posture. His importunity. He will give him as many loaves as he wants. Praise the Lord. These are all the things that faith, the voice of faith, can do for you. Hallelujah. Now, I am going to wind it down right now because of time. This is what the voice of faith can do for you. Now, but for faith to be effective, it has to be based on the word of God. Hallelujah. You can't just have faith in faith. If God didn't promise it, maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. But if he's already promised it, you stay with the word. Never mind what all these other voices are telling you. Hallelujah. So, let me break it down to you this way. In book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. I love this verse. And many of you have heard me preach on it many times. I call it faith specs. There's an acronym in this verse that spells S, P, E, and C. And I call it my faith specs. The first thing they did was to see the promise afar off. That's the S. Before you begin to pray and believe for anything, find a promise in the scriptures. Don't just be praying for what God has not promised. Once you find a promise, search the scriptures. See the promise. That's the S. Then be persuaded that God is able to do it. Hallelujah. Now, everybody is persuaded that God can do all things. Everybody. We know that God is almighty. We can do all these things. But when Jesus comes to you and says, your brother shall rise again. And you say, well, I know he will rise in the resurrection and all these other stories. No, I'm not talking about the resurrection. I'm talking right now. Do you believe this? Jesus asked her. You know, we're always believing God for the great things that he has done in the past and the great things that he's going to do in the future. But the situation you are facing right now, right now, do you believe it? That's the embrace part of it. Embrace it. You are persuaded that God can do it, but embrace it for the very situation that you are in now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then begin to confess it. That's the C. You begin to confess it. You say, I'm going to be the father of nations. Praise God. And that's why every time that they were healed in the Bible, Jesus would say, and even some of the apostles too, they would say the same thing. Take up thy bed and walk. Don't lay on the bed and say you are healed. Amen. Act like you are already healed. Praise God. Praise God, somebody. Now, I'm going to bring it to a close here. But we have something else that we're going to do today. So let me end it right here. This is the summary of what we have said today. There are many kinds of voices that you will find. But there's only one voice that actually moves God. It is the voice of faith. Hallelujah. That's right. If you are praying and your prayer is not mixed but with faith, it may not even move God. Out of mercy, sometimes God just has mercy on people. But that's not how God operates. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is your faith that moves God. And so don't let the fear, don't let the unbelief, don't let the discouragement, the voice of doubt, the voice of despair, the voice of reason, the voice of logic. Hallelujah. Sure, we have wisdom also. You can use wisdom. We know that. But that's not my subject today. If you step out of the house, if it's raining before you step out of the house, you should take your umbrella. That's wisdom. But if you already left, and then it begins to rain, then you can say, well, I don't want this rain until I get back. That's faith. Praise God. And if you already prayed before you left the house and said, Lord, I don't want it to rain. If you believe God, you said it. If you shall say it, and you will believe it, and you will not doubt what you say, Mark 11:23 and so forth, 22:23, you shall have whatsoever you say. If you've already said it, and then when you begin to go, then there's one drop, then the voice of reason will come back. You better go back and take your umbrella. That's the voice of... That's not wisdom at that point. Because you have already declared it. Hallelujah. You have already declared it that I don't want it to rain. And when you declare, you believe it with all your heart, there you go, and you're done. Amen. A week or so ago, my wife was about to go for the Wailing Women thing. I think she gave this testimony. Conference, and I said I was going to go with her. And so she was wondering, how are we going to water our plants and all of these things? And I said, well, it's going to rain. Praise God. It's going to rain when we leave. It's going to rain the whole time when we're gone. It's going to rain. Hallelujah. Wasn't exactly a prayer. I just said it and I moved on. And then that night, it was like a cloud. You know, Elijah, he saw the cloud. He saw the sound. It was a gathering storm. And the thing started to gather. And I told my wife, I said, when we leave, not tonight, we're traveling tomorrow. So tonight, no rain. Hallelujah. And that's exactly, if you believe God, he will honor your word. And God honored that thing point blank. I dropped off my car. I got into a bus, shuttle thing in the airport. And the guy, it began to rain. The guy said, where did this rain come from? I mean, we need this rain. This and that. It just went on and on. I said, the rain did not just happen. I said, I called for it. Praise God. He looked at me,
Brother, you call for that rain? He said, thank you.
I said, man, I call for it. Praise God. And I got on a conference somewhere, and one lady came. She said, I'm from Northern Arizona. It's been raining and so forth. She said, all of a sudden, it began to rain. I mean, fire and so on. They were having some fires. And he said, all of a sudden, it just began to rain from everywhere. It was all raining. And she came and gave a testimony on that line that I was. And I jumped on and I said, sister, the rain hasn't stopped yet. It's going to rain tomorrow. Hallelujah. And it kept raining. You know, if you believe God and you say it, don't let the voice of reason come back. I'm trying to make a differentiation. Because I want to say wisdom, this and that. No, wisdom is, it's already raining. You don't need to exercise faith all the time. It's raining, take your umbrella. You are still in the house. That's wisdom. But you already pronounced the faith that it's not going to rain. And when you step out, one drop drops on you. You say, uh-uh. They say, go back and take your umbrella. Uh-uh. Rain, hold your peace until I get back. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet here this morning. Come on. Let's stand to our feet and let's believe God. Amen. Well, don't give in to all those negative voices. There are seven of them that we described there. Fear, unbelief, discouragement, doubt, despair, reason, logic, all these negative ones. Don't give in to any of them, you know, but always use the voice of faith. Hallelujah. Let the voice of faith inside you rise up and silence all those other voices. Silence all those other voices. And the next time somebody tells you can't do something, you need to say, says who? Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notice, that scripture didn't say, Jesus can do all things. We already know that one. Praise God. The Lord can do all things. There's no doubt about that. But this one around, we're walking in a realm where you have to put that negative stuff in your soul and all that, put it under. Let the Spirit rise up. Amen. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. And I want to give this to you and we'll pray. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the word of God is quick and is what? Powerful. And it's what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is what? Dividing even to, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I want to explain that to you today in case you don't know what it means. The soul is where you have all those emotions. Fear, doubt, unbelief, and all these things. The spirit man, though, he wants to believe God. So when you latch onto the word of God, you use it to divide between all those emotions and all those fears and let it cause your spirit to rise. Dividing between the spirit and the soul. When Jesus comes your way, you've been toiling all night long. You say, we have been out here. We can't catch anything. That story is in Luke chapter 5. We can't catch anything all night long. That is your emotion. That is your unbelief. That is your human soul speaking and all that. But immediately, you switch it around like Peter did. I say, nevertheless. Hallelujah. Nevertheless. At the word of the master. Hallelujah. So you must use the word of God to bring that nevertheless into your situation. Even though things look like this right now, even though in my heart I may, you know, my soul, my natural spirit, I don't even want to use the word, because your spirit is where the word of God enters. You know, so I don't even want to use spirit. But in your soul, you're having fear, emotions. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad, sometimes you're afraid, sometimes you're angry. All that stuff that still needs to be brought under. But use the word of God. Divide between those two things. And let the spirit of God that is in you latch on in your spirit to the word of God and rise above obstacles. Amen. Now lift up your hands and I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And if you are watching, some of you may be watching us live on Facebook Live or watching later on YouTube or wherever you are watching or listening. I want you to know that God is on your side. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And don't listen to those voices. Don't listen to those voices. Listen only to the voice of faith. I am going to pray for you today. I'm not going to ask anybody to come to the front. You know, especially guests and so forth. We don't want to embarrass you and all that. But I want I'm going to ask you, though, to raise your hand if you want to believe God with me. Don't do it just yet. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to believe God with me. There is a reason why we preachers sometimes do this. We just want to engage you. You know, so the act of faith by you raising your hand and so forth is going to tell me that you are believing God and we're agreeing together. Amen.
Amen.
So if you're in the house today and you say, I'm believing God, you know, I'm going to put all those negative voices out of my head. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let the voice of faith rise up in me. I'm going to use the word of God to divide between my soul and my spirit. Put the soul and all those things under and let the spirit of God rise up in your spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah. Believe the word of God. If that's you today, raise your hand. I'm going to pray. Whatever it is you are believing God for, it doesn't matter. I'm going to pray and believe God with you. Father, see the hands that are raised. I believe God with them. The Bible says, if two of you can only agree on anything that you ask, it shall be done. Can somebody say amen? Amen. If you can find somebody that believes God with you, that's all. Don't tell your business to unbelieving people. You know, that parade themselves as believers. They don't have any faith. They will only draw you back. Believe the Lord. Hallelujah. And so shall you be established. Believe also his prophet, sir. And so shall you prosper. Father, for everyone that's believing you in here today, do it, Lord, for them. Let it be unto them according to their faith. In the name of Jesus. I want you to use your faith 1 minute before the praise team begins to sing. All over this place, I want each person to pray for yourself. Act on what you have heard today. And say, I am going to use the voice of faith that is inside of me to overcome all those negative things. And I'm no longer going to be held back. I'm going to cast away my garments and all these things that are holding me back. I'm going to go straight to Jesus. And I'm going to use the voice of faith against all odds. Pray for a few minutes. I just want you to take a minute. Raise your voice in prayer. Don't worry about somebody else besides you. That's the problem with the crowd. All of them were worrying about Jesus or who the crowd was, but only one person touched him. Now, let that be your touch here today. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise and give you the glory. Zero in on what you are believing God for. And it shall be so in Jesus' name. And somebody says, come on, somebody says, so it is spoken, and so it shall be for you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise him. Come on.